And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading this morning, keeping the other readings that we heard in mind as well. But here is Jesus in the midst of the Jews who in their minds were thinking on the national level. They were thinking that Jesus had come to establish a physical kingdom, to restore the physical Israel on earth, and to conquer the world and reign with the kingdom of glory on earth. So that's kind of the setting of the mindset of most who listen to Jesus. And so in light of that, we hear these words again from John chapter 8, the gospel reading. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And here ends these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we look forward again this week to the celebration of Independence Day, I think on the minds of a lot of people, hopefully, are the considerations of the freedoms that we have as U.S. citizens in this great nation, and great when we compare it to many other nations throughout the world and places where there are virtually no freedoms. And so I hope that would be the discussion this week. But then, as you think about that term, freedom, and if you go around the community and maybe just ask people their definition of freedom, What kind of answers do you think they may come up with? Just what do you perceive freedom to be? What does that mean to you? Well, this morning, Jesus takes for us freedom to a whole greater level. And it is genuine freedom. A freedom that cannot be known in the physical world. But this is a spiritual freedom that affects all aspects of our life in a very blessed way. And so we think about this morning genuine freedom. And it'd be good this week, by the way, just to go out and have that conversation with people and maybe to glean some of the things that we think about and consider this morning and share with them genuine freedom. And genuine freedom is deliverance. It is deliverance from the bondage of sin and death and Satan. This is a huge freedom. You see, many, if you went out and asked people, they would perceive freedom in a physical way without any concern or even really knowing or understanding their sinful condition, the spiritual ramifications of their lives, living in sin, and not realizing that they remain in bondage. And so that was the case among the Jews as Jesus was sharing with them this topic of freedom. And in their mind, they're thinking of national grandeur. We're Jews. We're the proud Jewish nation. We are this proud race of people upon the earth. And oh, Jesus, we have this great heritage. We have Abraham. And then Jesus' response to them is this, or theirs to him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" So this kind of shocks them. They're confused. Why would Jesus bring up freedom when they feel like they already have freedom in a very great way? But you know, their response I believe is very similar to the response of many people in the United States of America today. But you know, nothing could be further from the truth for the Jews at that time, because they were enslaved even at this time, physically, nationally. They were enslaved to Rome. Rome was the real power. Rome was in control of their nation. And this wasn't like this was something new, right? I mean, you go back several years and they're in Egypt. And what's happening there? They find themselves in slavery. And then you go fast forward again several years, and they're enslaved to the Assyrians. And then after the Assyrians, they're enslaved to the Babylonians. And so it's really even confusing how they could even think about the reality that they were not enslaved to anyone. But you can see the arrogance of that sense of heritage. But it's not freedom. And then you think of the United States of America, us Americans today. I think there's a similar great deception among us. It's this sense of national grandeur. I mean, we're patriotic. This is the United States of America. What an influential power in the world, and has been for over 200 years. This is pretty incredible and awesome. And certainly we do have a lot to celebrate, and we have a lot to be thankful for. I'm sure glad I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And so this week, appropriately so, we celebrate our nation. And hopefully in that, first and foremost, we're praising God that we were blessed to be born in this place. But in all the celebrations, we got to be careful, though, of where our trust really lies. Is it like the Jews, that we're putting our trust first and foremost in this nation and maybe the military power and so forth that we have? You see, there's the danger if that's the first place where we put our trust. Because in light of all the things we celebrate, there's certainly a lot of very evil and ungodly things going on in this nation that has great influence in a negative way upon the rest of the world. In fact, the Islamic world confronts us on this at times. And they confront us on, well, if you are such a great nation and you claim to be Christian, then why do you have the open debauchery in your nation? So you have freedom, but from our perspective, we see that your freedom means there's virtually no moral law. In other words, it's free game to do virtually anything that you want in realms of immorality. And we certainly see that in the area of sexual sins within our country. It's all over the news virtually every day. And we see that the sexual sins like adultery, like pornography, living together outside of marriage, these are commonplace, and so much so there used to be shame in these things. But now it's like this is the way life is. It's okay. And it's even gone from to the next level. I'm going to even boast about it. And there's a lot of boasting that goes on about open debauchery. In this land, there's a lot of freedom to participate in all those things. Pornography alone is a multi-billion dollar industry. Or how about this one, freedom to take the lives of the unborn? Do you know how many? This was really, it's still disturbing me. I just went on the internet, and I went to a site to find out what the total number of abortions are. And on the site, it actually had a number that was ticking. It was live. And in about every 30 seconds, another number came up on the total abortions. We're over 60 million, by the way, in this land. Think about that. If this was out where people could see it, where these people were 5, 6, 10 years old, and were just cutting them down, taking their lives away. Wow. Look at the immigration thing, you know, kids separated from parents all over the news. And yet that is minor compared to 60 million little lives snuffed out. But we have freedom in this land to do that kind of thing. And then we look at the social media. Talk about the freedom there, right? And I mean, somebody can literally put something out there, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, about someone else. It can go viral, and within 30 seconds, somebody's reputation can be destroyed around the world. That's how powerful social media is. And there's freedom to pretty much put out there anything someone wants to put out there. Well, freedom has gone to the extreme in our land of really there's hardly any accountability. I mean, it's kind of a sense, too, even if there is a sense of accountability, well, I'm free to do it as long as I don't get caught. Then it's okay. But Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. They said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. But I think you would agree with me, in the United States of America, could it be possible that we are enslaved to freedom? In the sense of pretty much the freedom to sin in almost any way we want without virtually any accountability. And so what the world is really promoting, what our nation, I think most of our citizens, are really running after is we don't want any laws. We don't want any moral standard. And definitely we don't want Jesus, because Jesus represents bondage. Hey, if people are following Jesus, that messes up the freedom the way that I like freedom. Well, I thought it was interesting. I found a couple quotes from a couple of our founding fathers. And what a different perspective of freedom when our land developed before the independence was declared, or in that time. So John Adams, have a quote from him that's on the screen. Statesman, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. Wow, what a statement from a politician of the day, right? Or how about another founding father, Patrick Henry? And he wrote these words, or spoke them, a vitiated state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, is incompatible with freedom. This is from our founding fathers. This is just a couple. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. You've probably read many of them yourselves. But the greatest, of course, is Jesus himself. The truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, Jesus takes freedom to a whole nother level. It's beyond any sense of national freedom, but Jesus brings it into the realm of talking about everlasting life and everlasting condemnation. And so the three great barriers to freedom, number one is sin. Because whenever we sin, we are rebelling against God's law. And yes, against a lot of our proclaimers of freedom today, there is absolute truth. God's law stands forever, whether mankind likes it or not. And the final justice system is God. And when we're standing before the Lord, He's not going to take an opinion poll of how He should handle each situation. His word, His truth is absolute. It is not going to change. And even those who do not have the written word of God, God tells us they also are without excuse. In Romans chapter 2, we hear of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are the ones who did not have the written law of God. But here's what God says in Romans 2 of the Gentile world. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Isn't it wonderful that God has written His law into the hearts of every human being? And so we have His law, whether we have the written law or not. Well, we can't enjoy freedom in this nation. Well, we can, but what about the freedom within? We can't really celebrate freedom if we are in bondage to our sin. And with that comes death. The wages of sin is death. And this one, we are powerless to prevent. There's nothing we can do about death. In physical freedom, we live in still the bondage and the fear of knowing we're going to die if we don't have Christ. And that is powerful. And people don't like to think about death. It's not something people dwell on every day. And I think of one of our members. He works at a nursing home. He's been around a lot of people that have died. And he shared with me recently, he said, it's just amazing the number of times where people are on their deathbed and they're like shocked about it. It's like, I didn't think this would ever really happen to me. But we are all going to die. So we've got sin and we've got death that are holding us in bondage apart from Christ. And then we have Satan. So add insult to injury. We have this fallen angel and all of the demons that he took with him, all the other fallen angels. And Satan's goal is to deceive and accuse. He's the great accuser. He wants to accuse you and me even before the Almighty God himself. He wants to destroy our lives, and he thrives on keeping people in bondage. He wants to try to keep you and me in bondage, to doubt God's love and forgiveness for us, and to dwell on our sinful condition. He is known and called as, by Jesus, the father of lies. Think about that. And talk about the father of lies, even confronting the word that became flesh with the written word of the word that became flesh. Think about that one. If he was ever so bold to do that with Jesus, don't think for a moment he's not going to do it with you. Apart from Christ, he rules. In fact, Jesus refers to him as the prince of this world. He truly is the one that reigns over the unbelieving world. So even living in this great nation of freedom, not knowing Jesus, citizens of the U.S. are in a horrible bondage to sin and to death and to Satan. And there's no way out of it by our own power and strength. But we are blessed to know genuine freedom. And so we know Jesus, and we know that this freedom comes through Jesus Christ alone. And the reason that is possible is because Jesus came for that very purpose, to overcome sin, first of all. And we know that Jesus didn't inherit original sin. He was born of a virgin. He was conceived not by man, but by God. He broke that chain of original sin. Jesus, the perfect one conceived and born, never sinned. He fulfilled the law perfectly. And then what does Jesus do? He goes to the cross. And he deals with the second barrier, which is death. And there Jesus went through death himself. The wages of sin is death. He died, but we know death could not hold him. He rose, didn't he? And remember, Jesus spoke those wonderful words, "I am the resurrection and the life." And shortly after speaking those words to Lazarus' sister Martha, then he goes to Lazarus' grave, who had been dead for 4 days. He calls him by name to come back to life. And here Lazarus walks out of that tomb, the grave clothes falling off of him. He's alive and well. Jesus proved that he has power over death. But that was minor in comparison to Easter, when Jesus, he himself died on Good Friday, and he rose himself from the dead. He is, as he has proclaimed, the resurrection and the life. So sin and death have been overcome, and only one could do that. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus overcame Satan. And I just shared, out in the wilderness, Satan tempting Jesus, even with his own word. It was severe temptation. It was real. But have you ever thought of these words, Colossians chapter 2? I love this. Look at this. "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by what? The cross." So Jesus won the victory at the cross. He conquered Satan at the cross, and we know the tomb was empty. We know the victory is won, and we as people of faith live in this victory and in the genuine freedom that it provides. And so when Jesus says to us, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed," we don't say, "Well, Jesus, we haven't been in bondage," or, "Jesus, we're citizens of the United States of America." No, we rejoice because we understand how devastating sin and death and Satan are, how powerful they are, and that we would never be able to overcome. But our Lord has, and he has shared the victory with us. So then what does this freedom look like? What's our daily life in freedom look like? We still battle sin, don't we? I mean, that's an ongoing battle until God receives us home in glory. But even though we battle sin, we are free from the guilt of sin. We are free from the condemnation of the law. We are free. We are forgiven. We still die physically. And death is, even though we know we're going to die, I think it's always a shock when our time comes, because it's a mystery, it is powerful. We will still die physically, but we live in the security of everlasting life. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will," what? "Live, even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die." And so physically we die, spiritually we live on. We transfer from life on earth to life in glory. And of course, on the last day, our bodies are restored and resurrected as well. And we're still tempted. The battle rages on. Who do you think Satan attacks the most harshly? The unbelieving world? It's already got them. No, it's you and me, God's precious children. He only has a limited time. And what he wants to do with that limited time is to destroy our faith. And so we are severely tempted, but we're no longer in bondage to him. We can look Satan in the face and say, "Depart from me in the name of Jesus." And Satan has to leave. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, praise Jesus, praise our loving God for the gift of genuine freedom. And you know what that looks like when our physical life ends? It's in our liturgy at graveside. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Generally, I always read these words at a graveside service. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to conclude, Romans 8. Romans 8, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. Is that freedom? That is freedom, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. God has changed our hearts, and we have this freedom. And we live in a land where we have the freedom to go out and share it. I think that's a beautiful way to end, with the cross on top of the Bible, on top of the flag. It's really who we are. May we use this week and all the time God gives us to share genuine freedom with this nation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, celebrating always the freedom that is in our possession now and for eternity. Amen.